Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Feminization Boudoir Podcast from Candy Apple Press. I am your host, Kylie Gable, and I was just watching on YouTube Professor of Rock, which goes into the history of rock music, and I worry that I might be about to be talking just as long. The audio for tonight came out October 24th, 2014, and it's probably my most read story because for a long time, if you signed up for my mailing list, you got a copy. And so I gave it to Faith O'Shea to record a couple months back, like December, maybe November. And it took forever. And I didn't understand why. I mean, she had a really bad cold and other things come up, but I didn't understand why it took her so long until she returned it to me this weekend. Recorded, and I saw that the recording took like an hour and 43 minutes. Wow, I thought this was like a 7,000 or 8,000 word story, and it's 12,500 words. We're going to break this up into two parts. I think it's one of my better stories, and it's funny because I've done work as a phone sex operator, very little of it. And I wrote this before I had any idea how it worked. And it's amazing to me how many things I got right not having a clue. In some ways, it's a big old-fashioned Hollywood romance. And in some ways, I think it's one of my better stories, for sure. That's why I made it a freebie. So without further ado, here is Faith O'Shea reading part one of The Operator.
The Operator by Kylie Gable. Barbary's finished eating his microwaved Salisbury steak dinner while watching the news, as he usually did. At work, he was a dynamo. He had taken over his father's aging hobby shop and turned it into the pop culture mecca for the entire city. His store sold everything from the latest board games to records by trendy independent artists who still recorded on vinyl. People were always amazed that it was a nerdy 30-year-old who seemingly had found the pulse of the young and hip. Social awkwardness provided Bob a secret weapon. Uncomfortable initiating conversation, Bob listened and took mental note. When he overheard three different customers mentioning a video that they had seen on the internet or a band they had seen live, Bob investigated and found just the products that his customers wanted. His shop had expanded in his decade of ownership, and despite the economic downturn, he was doing fine. He happily employed a dozen people who weren't going to get rich anytime soon, but were making good money for a retail job and selling the things that they were passionate about. Bob had given up on love. Quiet people don't draw a lot of attention at single bars, and his heart had been broken too many times to really care. He didn't flash big stacks of $20 bills, and he was average-looking. He was slender and had nice eyes, but he was barely taller than any of the girls at the bar. He had tried to replace that hole in his life with phone sex. Every couple of days, he found himself calling phone fun and flirting with the girls on the other end of the line. Tonight, however, none of Bob's usual girls were on, so he looked at the pictures. He was pretty sure that a lot of the girls used fake pictures to drum up business, but that didn't really matter, and the phone was all about fantasy. He found a girl who called herself Naughty Colette. Her picture was hot, but different from a lot of the other operators' pictures. These were candid shots, and they looked like a real person, not a model. Bob loved female domination, but even more, he loved forced feminization. though he had never participated in either, he had a healthy fantasy life devoted to those two kings, since the girls in his class used to humiliate him by pinning him down and giving him makeovers. He always looked for operators who listed domination and feminizing sissies as their specialties, and this seemed to be her thing. Her price was right at only $1.15 per minute, so Bob decided to call. "Hello, this is Carlette," purred the voice on the other end of the line. "Oh, hello, Colette. This is Bob," he stuttered nervously. "My mistress had me call you." "On a Friday night," she replied. Oh, she hated these calls. She'd had about a half dozen of these mistress-made-me callers this week, and they were the most aggravating. The aggressive mind-fuckery of whatever story they wanted to make her believe and use to hold her hostage. She knew damn well that their wives didn't search for a phone sex mistress and make their husbands call the number. But she constantly had to act like she did. "Well, she's out with her boyfriend," he answered quickly. "I see. So, what does she want me to do to you?" asked Colette as she cleared the dinner dishes. She wants you to tell me what a bitch I am for having my wife go out with another guy while I masturbate." "I can do that, because you are a bitch, you know." "Yes, Miss Colette." "Do you have panties?" "Oh, yes, Miss Colette," he responded, referring to the handful of panties that he had ordered online. "Put them on, and some lipstick," she commanded, her voice now haughty. "I don't have lipstick," he replied. "You do next time, understood?" "Oh, yes, Mistress Colette." "Okay, Bob. Reach into those soft, delicate panties and start rubbing while you describe them to me." Oh, she cooed suggestively. "Well, were they pink? And they're lacy? And they're very soft?" he answered. His hand reached down the old panties that he had stolen from his last serious girlfriend back when he was in college. "Oh, well, they sound very sexy, Bob. I've got a question, though. Who wears panties, Bobby?" "Well, girls wear panties, mistress." "That's right. And you know who else wears panties?" "Sissies wear panties, mistress." "Sissies and bitches do, Bobby. Are you a sissy or are you a bitch?" She could hear his breathing getting heavier, and she knew she'd struck a chord. At least part of this was going to be easy. I don't know, mistress," he muttered. "Well, I think you're both, Bobby. Would a real man be stroking himself through a pair of panties right now? Or would he be out with his mistress? Would a real man be calling me to abuse him? Or would he want to throw me down and fuck me hard? You're not a man at all. You're just a little sissy girl. You're a little sissy bitch. Isn't that right?" Oh, yes, it's true. Oh, it's true, yes," he exclaimed. Colette heard his breathing begin to slow down and relax a bit. She knew the reaction well. Bobby, did you just cream your panties? Yes, mistress, he replied. Well, I hope you had fun, Bobby. I did, Miss Colette, but now I'm going to be so ashamed to show my mistress what I did. She's going to punish me badly, he squeaked.
Oh, I'm sure she will.
Tell her I said to give you a spanking for me.
Oh, I will. Thank you, mistress, concluded Bob as he hung up the phone and cleaned himself up for an evening of video gaming.
Claire could now drop the Mistress Corlette character and could finally resume her painting. She didn't mind the calls, not really. Mistress Corlette was fun. She had a sexy voice, and that would be so inappropriate to speak in on a daily basis. And she got to say things to guys that she would never say in real life. Unfortunately, in addition to guys like Bob, who were emotionally tied to a fantasy and needed you to acknowledge it and play along with it, well, there were some real perverts and nutjobs who called her. Well, there was Larry, who called to yell abusive things at her, even though it was clear from her listing that she wasn't the least bit submissive. And when she hung up on him, he wrote her back apologetically to explain that she was the only operator who didn't hang up on him straight away. Where he'd sent her a $50 tribute, and she did let him call from time to time, but warned him when he was crossing the line. And some of her callers were great. She might never have been friends with them if they'd met in real life, but she enjoyed their chats on everything from families to astronomy to politics. Other callers were victims of sexual abuse or addicted to phone sex. She tried to help them, but always felt resentful when she'd feel sorry for them and avoid running up their credit card, only to find out that after calling her, they'd spent 2 hours on the phone with a mistress who charged $5 per minute. Her phone call with Bob had lasted exactly 12 minutes. At $1.15 per minute, he would be charged $13.80. Once Phone Fund took out their dollar connection fee and 30% off the total bill, well, she'd be left with just under $9. This wasn't what she expected to be earning with an art degree, but at least she could work from home. She'd been a Phone Fund girl for a little over a year now, and had little to show for it, except a studio apartment full of unsold art that she had been able to create while waiting for the phone to ring. Any disposable income she had went to her mother, who she supported, and who was uninsured and needed expensive diabetes medicine. Claire received an alert on her phone. A customer had just bought a set of 12 provocative photos she had posed for as Mistress Corlette. Well, after Phone Fund took their cut, well, that was another $7 in her pocket. And the modelling helped. While many of the operators used models for the pictures, Claire was attractive enough to pose herself. She was also a gifted enough photographer to make sure the focus was always on the body and away from the face. She knew if she did have to give up art and get a real 9-to-5 job, those pictures could come back to haunt her. After that first call, Bob's calls became more frequent, but they also tended to be on the weekend. It was getting really hard to act like she believed that he had a mistress who kept ordering him to call a strange woman while going out with her dates. But the demands also increased. But even worse, she was pretty sure that Bob wasn't even doing half of what she ordered him to do, even though he swore his mistress would be very angry if he didn't. She didn't know why Bob's calls bothered her so. Well, certainly so much more than the other guys who tried to mindfuck her on a daily basis. But they did. The next time Bob called, she was determined to teach him a lesson.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Candy Apple Press writer and occasional narrator, Victoria Vaughn. Our last ad for the premium podcast was a bit hard sell because we were very worried that Spotify could be pulling the plug on the free podcast very soon. A few months later, and it doesn't seem nearly as imminent a threat. So why should you subscribe to the premium podcast? First, we have about 55 hours of audios all available for the monthly price of $15. If you only heard the free versions, you're missing a bunch of short audios and some of the best parts of audios you have heard. Of course, there's new audios added every week. Even better, the subscription appears as payment to Spotify, so nobody has to know what it's for. If you can't afford it right now, we hope you'll continue to enjoy the free version. But if you do have the means, we don't think you'll be disappointed.
There's a link in the description to sign up for the premium, or just Google Premium Feminization Boudoir Podcast.
Hello, Mistress Corlett, whimpered Bob. My mistress sends her love. Is this Barbie? She asked. She recognized his voice. It was early Friday evening, and it was a call that she had been planning for over a week. Yes, Mistress Corlett, my mistress, he replied, but she quickly cut him off. Guess who called me today? She asked teasingly. Well, I have no idea, he answered truthfully. I talked to your mistress for nearly an hour this afternoon. My mistress, Bob sputtered. He had turned quite pale. There was no mistress to make the call. But he reasoned there was no way for Colette to know that. Who could have called her? She said, you have been a very naughty little sissy. Well, I suppose I have. Suppose? Do you doubt your mistress? Oh, no, of course not. Good. You've got a field trip, bitch. Take your cell phone with you and drive to the drugstore. You have 20 minutes. When you get there, call me back. Goodbye, Sissy Barbie. Oh, she jeered as she hung up the phone. Checking her cell phone up, she could see her checking account. If she lost her job, she'd be able to pay for her mum's rent this month and keep a roof over her own head. But after that, what? For someone who prided herself on rational behavior, this was terribly risky, and she knew it. Hello? Bob stuttered in a panic. She had definitely hung up. He got in his car and sped to the drugstore. As he pulled into the lot, though, he realized he had 10 more minutes, and not knowing what Mistress Corlette was doing, he decided it made more sense to drive to one a bit further away from home. He quickly dialed the number on his cell phone and waited for Corlette to answer. Hello, it's Bobby, he stammered. You're late, sissy. I don't put up with that. And neither should your other mistress. You'll be punished for that. Yes, mistress. Is your phone charged? Yes, mistress. It's almost fully charged. Good. You'll be keeping it on. Now go into the store and head for the makeup aisle. But makeup aisle now, bitch. You told me things much worse than this that your mistress had you do. she smiled. Colette knew that he was lying about doing them before, but it made it impossible for him to back out now. What color lipstick did your mistress make you buy last time, slut? Red, he responded. Well, this time, I want you to buy fiery red. Who makes that, mistress? Well, you better find out. If you don't locate it in exactly 2 minutes, you're going to have to ask for help. Oh, but mistress... 1 minute and 58 seconds. Bob looked through the dozens of different tubes of lipstick. The only way to find them was to look at the names on the tubes, but there were so many. Oh, mistress, please, he pleaded softly into the phone. If I don't listen to begging normally, I certainly won't accept it as a whisper. Now go get someone to help you and leave the phone on. I want to hear the conversation. Bob hesitated, but trudged over looking for an available sales assistant. Nervously, he approached a couple of workers in the familiar red vest worn by employees. The two women eyed him in anticipation of his question. One of them looked to be about 40 with red hair and a look of confidence, but the other woman looked almost as nervous as he did. She looked to be about 26, and she had short, platinum blonde hair. Her name tag said Lauren, and her own nerves made her seem like the better choice. I was just wondering if I could get some help. Sure, said the older woman. What can we help you with? I'm trying to find some lipstick for my girlfriend, but I don't know who makes it. It's called Fire Red. Bob was shifting his weight from leg to leg like a terrified sixth grader giving a book report. Do you know? Lauren asked the older woman. No, it doesn't sound familiar. Why don't you go help him, and I'll show you how to arrange the bottles, offered the older woman. Come right this way, sir. Oh, she said as much for the older woman as for Bob. She squatted down and looked at the bottom of the display first. Well, this display is really messed up. It looks like somebody poured all the lipstick. I'm not surprised you can't find it, she fretted. Yeah, how about that? Well, I really appreciate your help, Lauren, said Bob, quickly changing the subject. Lauren looked over her shoulder, confused for a moment, before explaining. Oh, you read the name tag? I didn't think I'd said my name. Well, I'm glad you had an easy enough job for me. Well, it has to be somewhere. She told me it was. Oh, here you go, beamed Lauren, handing Bob the tube of fire red lipstick she just found. Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, you're a lifesaver, said Bob, satisfied to finally be off the hook with Mistress Colette. As soon as Lauren was out of earshot, Bob put the phone back to his ear. I hope you heard that. Are you satisfied? Well, congratulations on getting lipstick. But I never told you to lie. You'll need to get punished, insisted Colette. What? Well, I did what you ask. Unscrew the cap on your new lipstick and apply it to your lips. Then take a picture on your cell phone and send it to me, said Colette severely, without a hint of pity or mercy in her voice. No, I'm not going to do it, he replied. Do it? or regret it, Bobby. If you make me tell your mistress that you were disobedient, I promise she won't be happy, snapped Colette. Right, my mistress. Okay, I'll send you the picture, sighed Bob. He delayed waiting for two girls at the end of the aisle to leave. He had already gotten some weird looks from them. He sure didn't want them seeing him putting on lipstick. When the coast was clear, Bobby snapped a selfie and sent it to Colette. Find yourself a bottle of nail polish to match the lipstick, insisted Colette. Don't you think you're overdoing this a little? Bob asked snidely. Bobby, go to the magazine section. I think you should do some reading. What about the lipstick? He stammered. Well, from your picture, it looks lovely. Now scoot. Find a Cosmo. Bob stood nervously, flipping through the magazine, where the area was empty, but people could still see if they walked by. Sure enough, the two girls he had seen earlier in the cosmetics entered the magazine aisle. They weren't paying much attention to Bob at first, but as they got closer, they noticed his bright red lips and his choice of magazine. They rushed down the aisle, laughing at him the whole time. Well, they didn't mock him to his face, but he could overhear them saying things to each other. Oh, as soon as they left, Bob picked up the phone to hear Colette laughing just as loud as the girls in the aisle had done. Well, you gave them a good show, at least. Can I go now, Mistress Colette? Oh, almost, Princess. You need two pair of pantyhose, one nude and one in black, she instructed. Oh, Bob sighed, but he didn't argue. He went over to the front of the store where the pantyhose were located. He had no idea of his size, but at least the instructions were pretty clear, unlike the lipstick. As he was reading the size and weight chart on the back of one of the packages, Lauren came walking down the aisle. She has you by her pantyhose, too. Your girlfriend sure has you well trained, teased Lauren. Bob stood there, unsure of what to say. He heard an audible gasp as Lauren noticed the lipstick he was now wearing. He tried to stutter out a response, but he could find no way to explain himself. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to react like that, she smiled. It's just my first day working here. I wasn't expecting it. Oh, it's okay, he muttered. Well, we all have our kinks. Oh, don't feel bad about it, please. Lauren sympathized with Bob, who looked like he could bust into tears at any moment. I would say that you're probably a size B. Oh, thanks. He grabbed the packages he was required to and hurried away from Lauren. Oh, he felt so ashamed. She was actually a cute girl and genuinely kind. And now she had to think he was the biggest pervert in the state. Any moment now, she'd be laughing with one of her co-workers about what she'd seen. Can I please go now? He asked into the phone. Toes painted, legs shaved, and panties on tonight. Have your mistress take a picture and send it to me. And make sure you're wearing the lipstick, too. Do you understand? Colette asked. Yes, Mistress Colette, he replied, shaken. And Bobby, that was the most fun I've had in ages. She snickered and hung up. Bob paid for the purchases. The older woman he had seen before was working the cash register. But he was past being embarrassed at this point, even as other shoppers at the cash register stared at him. He tried wiping off the lipstick, but its bright cherry color still left his lips stained. A funny thing happened, though. As soon as Bob was safely in his car, that awful feeling of humiliation in the pit of his stomach dissipated. In its place, he found himself more aroused than he had been in such a long time. All those stories about guys being dominated and feminized that he had read, and all those stories that he had told to the girls in phone fun, but they were finally coming true. But he could hardly wait to get home and paint his toes.
Okay, that was Faith O'Shea reading The Operator, Part 1, and Part 2 will be available next week. I love her voice. It makes everything sound so classy, and it makes me feel like really big time because I have not one, but two British narrators. And, you know, her and Pamela have two very different voices, but I think a lot of us in the States not only think that all British people have the same accent, but that that accent was best encapsulated by Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins. So those are not the same accent. They're both wonderful and they're both sexy. And one of the things that was kind of fun when I was listening to the story, and it'd be near the end of part one, was listening to her doing Ashley, the American, I think it was Ashley, the American girl who our hero runs into in the shoe store. So anyway, part two will be next week. I hope you enjoyed that. And really thankful to Faith for sticking with such a long audio. I will tell you, my narrators would generally probably rather read 4 15-minute audios than 1 hour-long audio. But that's when it comes to books, that's about the length I need to have, and so that's how it works. But we are doing a lot more short ones lately, too. Hope you enjoyed it. Be back next week. I will be. Take care.